Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, Rangers. It's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. It's 2024. Let's do this. Here's the credits, of course. Mike Rickberg sang that song at the beginning, and he wrote that song, and he sang it with Sarah Cohen, his wife. And he will sing the Mexican Hat Dance at the end of the program. Also, Patrick Brady, still putting this together. Video, audio, all of it. He's amazing. So, and Vilmos doing JackieCationStore.com. Squarespace is doing the regular Jackie Cation page, and I'm thinking of moving the Dork Forest and DorkForest.com away from WordPress because it's driving me nuts. But those are the credits. But if you go to JackieCation.com, you can get Dork Forest merch. You can get my stand-up merch. You can get my stand-up CDs and DVDs, which you'd have to have devices for those. You can also see videos and find out any number of things. I have another podcast called The Jackie and Laurie Show, but The Dork Forest is the flagship. 18th year, we're doing it, you guys. You can go to my Bandcamp or my YouTube for extra content. Please donate, is what I'm saying. It's 2024, and I think we've been in this long enough. Why don't you guys, everybody send me $100? That's what I'd like you to do. You can PayPal me. There's links all over the pages. You can Venmo me at Jackie Cation. You can find me at a stand-up show and hand me a sweaty wad of 20s. Do something. But I love doing the show. I would love to make some money, is what I'd like to do. In other news, I'm sure there's more things that I should talk about, but I can't think of them. But let's listen to who's going to dork out about something, because that's my favorite part. Thanks for listening, you guys. You're all great. Let's get into the show. Jackie Cation, I am in a hotel room in Las Vegas, Nevada. Since Monday, I've been here. I live here now. It's going on for days. And but Dork Forest, Rangers, we're doing it. Right now, I have comedian AJ O'Connell on the horn, as no one says. Welcome to the program, AJ O'Connell.
Hey, Jackie. Thanks for having me.
All right. Oh, I forgot to get your handles on Instagram and such. Is it at AJ O'Connell, oddly enough?
At AJ O'Co, I believe. O-C-O.
Oh, yeah, it'll be in the notes, everybody. He's got a podcast with a friend called First Pancake Podcast, because the First Pancake, this is their first podcast. So why don't you listen to it and tell them that it's either great or you'll grow into it. I mean, I've been doing the Dork Forest for 18 years.
Exactly.
This is it gets better. Wow, I sound like a PSA. So AJ, you're dorkdom. I kind of want to get into it because I don't know anything about it. Is arm wrestling professional?
Okay. Professional. In theory.
Ridiculous.
I mean, that's I think they throw the term professional around pretty loosely with that, you know?
Yeah.
I think a lot of them are also truck drivers, but
Day job.
You know.
Okay.
A lot of them got day jobs. I think if you're like actually a proper professional arm, like the ones that just do arm wrestling, they're also like, I guess, like influencers or content creators. They'll post stuff about arm wrestling on YouTube and things like that.
Okay.
So it's kind of like comedy. We have to just kind of make your own career out of it.
Yeah, like regular wrestling too. I mean, there's like a mic, there's like open, you know, there's like karaoke where you learn to sing. And then there's, you know, somebody eventually either gives a shit or doesn't. So
that's right.
I love the idea. I have arm wrestled. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay.
As a child, for some reason, it was very popular. There was like between the ages of 8 and 11, there was a lot of arm wrestling that happened in my childhood. Don't know why.
Sure.
How about yourself? Any arm wrestling?
That's definitely the age. I would say 10 would arm wrestling. You arm wrestle at 10. I don't know why. It's free. There's, you know, you can
right,
do it at school, at a desk.
Yeah. And nobody's going to really get hurt. And nobody's going to really tell you to stop. Right? Because
no,
it's not really wrestling.
Good for you, you know? No,
yeah.
Exactly. You can't get hurt too
bad.
Only your arm can hurt. That's right.
Elbow down. For the YouTube listener, you want to put your elbow on something? You want to pretend we're doing it? Oh, yeah.
I guess
here we go. Good call.
It makes sense. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there we go. All right. Yeah. So thumb to thumb.
Uh-huh.
And then you got to touch the back of the hand, right? You got to force somebody back.
Touch the back of the hand. One thing I'll say right off the bat, if you watch professional arm wrestling, that might be jarring for some people. Is like you can use your body weight and things like that.
Oh,
it's not just. I remember like schoolyard arm wrestling is like you put your arm. It's all arm.
It's got to be arm
for sure. If you're doing it that way, people are cheating. Like there's no you can. You're gonna at least you know you're not gonna. You're gonna put a little weight on it, or you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And you're so I say let them just go. Let them do whatever works.
Well, are you saying that people stand up while they're arm wrestling? Like they stand, lean into it?
Oh, yeah. They stand, they lean back, they lean forward. They get in all different positions. There's a ton of technique to it, which I find fascinating.
That is fascinating.
It's really interesting. Yeah.
What is it on television? Where are you watching arm wrestling?
It has been. They do like pay-per-views and things like that. There's a bunch of different federations that, you know, open and then go defunct and whatever.
Oh my God.
The one that was on TV, I think it was mostly maybe in Canada, but it was the World Arm Wrestling League. And they did like 500 of them. So, you know, they had some success.
Yeah. And yeah, they would.
That was a big one for a while, but it is now defunct. Now the two big ones are King of the Table and East vs. West.
King of the Table. And East vs. And these are both
it's huge
US?
In,
okay.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, it's pretty big in North America. There's like some great Canadians, Americans, but there's also like a lot of like Russian, Ukrainian, Georgian arm wrestlers too. And for a while, I think back in the day, you know, people weren't traveling for this as much. It was mostly tournaments back then. I think you'd show up and then if you win, you win money. And so, but now it's more like super matches. It's like, oh, the dream matches, like we can get this guy versus this guy, best of seven. And it'll be like, also, it's going to take place in Turkey, and we're going to try to make sure the best people are facing each other. And like some people are like, oh, you're dodging. You don't want to face Europeans or whatever. And he's like, I'm ready to face, you know, I don't care. I'll take on anybody.
Oh, so there's some trash talk, sort of like wrestling?
You know, it's interesting. It's one thing where like, I think you can tell it's like almost a bit of a put on. Like before the match is a ton of trash talk. And then after it's all like, you know, they slap each other on the shoulder and they say, you know, good job.
Okay.
But beforehand, you're trying to drum up business, right? You're trying to promote a fight. So
sure.
You're going to start talking trash, singing songs, whatever it takes.
So what got you into it? How did you find it?
I think a lot of people find it on YouTube. And my friend did, back in like 2018. He's like, you got to just bear with me on this. You have to watch this. This is one of the greatest arm wrestling matches of all time. And I watched it. It was amazing. He
what
showed me, it was Matt Mask
was
versus Devin Larratt,
Matt?
WAL from like 2018, I think,
okay.
Maybe 2019.
And Matt Mask, what was the name of his competitor? Pardon me?
Devin Larratt.
Okay, Devin Larratt. All right.
Yeah.
And so this was the first fight that he was like, I swear to God, you'll love this.
Yeah, this is the way in because it was just an absolute battle. And
okay.
You'd think like one guy would just be stronger and like win.
Yeah.
But these matches go on for like a long time. Sometimes there's different strategies. Some are more defensive. Some are more offensive.
Okay.
And so like when you're in the tournament format, you're going for flash pins every time because you don't want to gas out. You have a bunch more matches.
Oh, sure. Sure.
But if you're in a best of seven situation, you might just want to get in a position that's going to tire the other guy out more than you. Hold it as long as you can. Even if you lose that round, now he's got a pump. He's gassed out. You can win the long game.
First of all, the term gassed out is now in the lexicon. next thing. We're talking two different kinds of arm wrestling here. There's tournaments where you're doing it. You're arm wrestling against different people to sort of go up a ranking or a branches, right?
Yeah, it's just like a bracket. I believe those are usually like just best of ones. I think if you're out, you're out. Maybe
one-offs.
There's a loser's bracket. Haven't seen as much of that. What tends to get the most.
Yep. Go ahead.
But I think that would probably be, you're talking about like the open mic of it. Like, I think that's probably the way in. Probably smaller tournaments, you get a bigger tournaments, and eventually you become a name. And once you're a name, it's like, can this guy beat this guy in a long match? And that some guys just pretty much do only that, I think, once
after
they get
a
to
certain
a certain
point.
Level.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, there are questions that I have. First of all, in the tournaments, are they sort of like a chess timer? Are they timed?
No, there's no time.
There's no time.
It goes as long as I want. No, it's just two guys, whoever. There's a lot of like there's fouls and things like that. Guys can slip, but if you're locked in, it's just until someone, I mean, eventually someone's going to give, you know, someone's going to get tired or whatever.
Okay. Next question. Is there sort of like in boxing, are there weight classes?
Yes, but there's also an open division. So the best guy in the world right now is Levon Saganishvili, and he's 400 pounds. Wow. And that's, you got to imagine, pretty tough to beat.
Yeah.
But then there's also like, I think the biggest weight class, like super heavyweight, is like 245 maybe.
Okay.
But then there's just the open division.
And so Leon, he only plays in Levon. The open division. Levon, sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, he would never be able to cut. He'd have to cut 150 pounds to...
to be able to compete in that yeah. sort of heavyweight.
And that'd be super heavyweight, but then there's smaller divisions, obviously.
Right. Wow. All right. And what I'm jumping around a little bit, but are there like workout videos where you're like, okay, I'm a huge fan of this guy, I'm going to watch him lift weights?
Yeah. And that's where a lot of the content creation comes in. Some of it's trash talking, some of it's talking about the next card and who you're predicting, but some of it's just like, this is how much, like there's very specific lifts for arm wrestling. Cause it's all, you're just trying to, and it's all about just like budging. It's not so much like it's all like cheating and whatever, because there's no cheating. You're just trying to move the thing. So if you can just like small movements, just like get it to budge. Can you get 160 pounds to budge with just your, and so like there's back pressure they talk about a lot, which is like leaning back and pulling, and there's like
like sort of you pull to get them sort of a little off balance and then you go forward fast.
Well, you know, actually usually in arm wrestling you want to kind of pull towards yourself because that's how the arm actually opens, right? It would open
if
you actually tried to go sideways, like it'll stop your arm will until it breaks.
Yeah.
So that's a strategy, is to get into a break arm position so that they can't budge, but it's dangerous. So you're trying to pull towards yourself. But basically the big thing is, I've heard the big that every arm wrestler has is like a karate belt, basically, with like a way to attach to, you know, like, you know, weights that you'd like do the rows on and it lifts up, right?
Yeah.
Basically that, with just like wrap a karate belt around your arm, attach that to the weight and like try to budge it different ways and
Weird. Okay.
It's very specific lifts. Yeah.
Like how many is it a small community at this point, since I've never heard of it?
Yeah. I mean, it like seems pretty big.
Maybe,
like, there's a lot of arm wrestlers, thousands of people that arm wrestle or that watch.
Either way. I mean, I would think that if there was a niche of 8 billion people on the planet, there might be 100,000 people who watch this thing. I don't know.
Yeah, or tens, I think it might be more like that. I'm interested in actually now looking at like view counts and stuff. But I think like Devin, his videos will get hundreds of thousands of views.
Okay.
So like
Are people doing it sort of like you watch like football, where people are looking at strategy or like, all right, this is how he plays?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it's like, oh, this guy, you know, either he's going to pin him right away or he is going to get tired. So can he go the distance and things like that? And do their strategies go against each other? And some people are known for being very flexible and being able to do different things and take different directions. And some people are known for kind of being one tricks. And
So they have one technique. And if you watch it enough and then you get some sort of workaround. Mm-hmm. Hilarious. Are there distinctive uniforms, clothings, sleeveless,
no,
so that we can see some arms and muscles?
Sometimes they're sleeveless, of course, but sometimes they're not. They usually, like, whatever the tournament or the event being put on, like, they'll have, like, custom shirts for it that says, like, King of the Table 4 or whatever.
Okay. Oh, they'll get a free shirt for doing the thing, maybe.
A lot of times, yeah, you'll get a free shirt at the very least.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
People love a free shirt.
He flew all the way to Turkey, you know.
Yeah, that now, have you ever seen a live event?
I have not been. I would love to, but I have watched the pay-per-views.
Okay,
no,
you've
never
watched
been.
The pay-per-views. Are they like pay-per-view boxing costs, or are they pay-per-view
like
arm wrestling costs? There we go. That's what we're...
They're very reasonable. Because you're not going to watch this with a whole bunch of people, so they can't charge as if you're inviting all your friends over to split it.
Right. Yeah, so it's $15. You watch it, and they're mostly on YouTube that you had to pay for, or is it on?
They have like Core Sports or whatever. It's a very it's a specific website. I think they do it through a pay per view website, basically. But a lot of times, after like a month, they'll end up just releasing it on YouTube.
Oh right, like, and then
if
you
didn't see it, but you probably know the results by then. If you're plugged in,
right? If you then all of a sudden you got the newspaper, you're already on the newsletter.
I got to turn off Twitter. You know, the big the big super match is happening.
Is there like are there do you follow the fighters on Instagram or Twitter or any of that kind of stuff?
I might follow some on Instagram, but I'm not even on Instagram that much, so mostly I'll just follow on through YouTube and I'll watch what they put out and then what people are saying about, because there's like also like content creators that I assume do arm wrestling in some capacity, but they just they know enough that they must do it, but they're not like themselves famous arm wrestlers.
Okay. So there's sort of like the color commentary or.
Yeah, there's that. There are guys that are known for that. So I'll watch their stuff and what they think. Trying to learn, so, but it's a lot.
And the live action one, there's got to be announcements happening, right?
Yeah, there are commentators.
There's commentators going, all right. Yeah. So whoever, like, I don't know, Matt and Devon are going to fight. Uh-huh. And what are they looking for in the description? Are they talking about, do you see how he twists his butt? Like, what are the kind of things that they say that make me?
I mean, it depends. Cause like some matches are going to be a lot faster and then they're just going to be like, wow, he crushed him. Or some are going to be like, this is a battle and they have to try to talk about it and the strategy and,
right, because it drags out a little bit. Know.
It will, yeah. And usually those matches are gonna. Okay, so basically, you start outside of you did just two guys, two hands locked in, right? Okay,
that's it.
Now there's even more. At the very beginning, the match really begins when the guys are arguing about their hand position. And they're trying to gain an advantage because it's like, and you'll see a guy be like, I can't see my thumb. You show me where my thumb is. You point to my thumb because my thumb's completely covered. And they're screaming at it and their wife's in the background yelling. And it's like there's jockeying for position in that way, you know, cheating the setup. Yeah. And so like they'll be talking about that on commentary and then they'll be like, okay, yes, he needs to be in this position if he's going to go for the top roll against his king's move. And so then they'll be arguing about that for what seems like way too long because then the match, the actual thing takes 2 seconds, but sometimes it's longer. But when that's happening, they'll try to point out, okay, so usually what happens first is the guys go in and they slip. They don't hold on to each other well enough and they both slip because a lot of strategies involve not trying to hold on to your opponent. You want them to pull you and you want to just to kind of hold strong.
Okay.
And so then they go to the strap, which I actually have an arm wrestling strap here. But
it's okay.
That you and wrap it around the two guys' hands after a lot more it arguing.
Like, it looks like death tape. What it looks like?
It's just like
tape. What is it? Or is it just
just like a cloth, like
belt kind of thing?
It's just kind of like a belt, yeah.
Okay.
And you just wrap it around the strap through the strap, and then they're locked in.
And do you wrap it around their wrists?
It goes
you sort of tie their wrists together.
It goes around the hands mostly, but it does go around each guy's wrist individually. The wrists don't go together.
And they're married like, after that happens.
They're now so married. Yeah, common law.
Celtic. Yeah, it's very beautiful.
It is. It is beautiful because afterwards they just had this hellacious battle, and then they're like stuck together. You know, they're like all pissed and freaking out, and then they're like, and then like slap the guy on the shoulder and be like, okay, get me out of this thing. My finger's broken. But
right. Because I bet you they do break their fingers. So all the time. Are they ever come in with their hands taped, like their fingers taped to each other? Kind of like, you know, when you jam your fingers in basketball and then you have
to break a
finger. And so you tape it to the next one instead of splinting it. You just kind of tape it to the next. Do they ever oil? Are there rules about oils?
Ooh, I don't know if there is rules about oils. They do chalk up.
Do they?
They do chalk up. But like I said, some guys are trying to slip. Some guys are trying to hold. So oiling up would make a lot of sense. I'm not sure I've seen that, but
it's tricky baseball talk, right?
Yeah, exactly. Get something on it. But yeah.
What? Yeah. Holy smokes. Okay, by the way, I am talking with AJ O'Connell, stand-up comic. That's it. If you it's at AJ Oco, right?
Okay. Yeah.
On the Instagram and stuff like that. And he has a podcast called First Pancake Podcast, so that's something you should also know about. Okay, so how long is the longest arm wrestling thing you've ever seen?
Wow, like a particular match or like, cuz they it's a card. One particular match. I don't know, but I think they can go
7 minutes,
an hour or something, the whole match, because that includes the arguing and then like the long rounds, and it's like a 7-round thing. An individual round is probably like a few minutes because it's got to be pretty tiring going full blast for I think it's probably like a few minutes for a long
three
round.
3 to 5 minutes max.
I think, yeah, that'd be a pretty long round, I think, right? Because it could take 2 seconds, but it could. If they're holding on for a minute, I think that's quite a while.
Wow. And they're doing best of seven sometimes?
Yeah. Some, I've seen them do like best of six, which makes no sense. That's just a...
Right.
Because then you have a tie, and then you do a tiebreaker, and that's a best of seven, but whatever. Yeah, right. So it's fine.
Right. That's, that's an even number.
Yeah, some didn't think it through.
You're either doing the best of five or the best of seven. But maybe if you're an arm wrestler, math is not your strong suit.
You know,
but, and this is not to judge. Yeah, there you go. Wow. So to know about sort of, I mean, it's like to know about the backstory of the arm wrestler. You got anything? You got any goss? You got any hot tea?
The backstory of any arm wrestlers?
Any arm wrestlers? What do you
mean? Yeah, I know. Like Devin, I was talking about. He's like a former Canadian Special Services. And now he's just like a family man, an arm wrestler. That's his deal. I mean, he gets his family is getting into it. Like his kids are now getting into arm wrestling.
Okay,
and that's a pretty interesting journey to see. They're getting pretty good.
How? Do they cut to them just sort of practicing next to him and rooting him on and stuff?
Now they have their own, at least one of them has his own YouTube channel, and he's in like, you know, small lower weight classes and stuff like that, because they're like, you know, maybe 18, so they're getting into the family business, but they're not quite at the top level yet, but they're showing their path, they're kind of documenting their journey to greatness, hopefully.
Right And what I really hope is that he was in the service for 20 years and has a pension.
I think he was in for a while. Yeah,
and
because that's another thing. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Please.
But they the peak for an arm wrestler is older than you'd think.
Okay. You
know, like for example, they say it's kind of like maybe mid-40s is your peak in arm wrestling. You gotta get that dad strength, you know.
Yeah.
Also, I think a lot of them are on steroids. Maybe all of them. So that helps probably keep the fountain of youth going, you know. But
wow. So it's not regulated, clearly, right?
Maybe they're cycling on and off.
Right.
Yeah, maybe they're cycling on and off, but for sure they've, I think, had some enhancement throughout their lives to get to the giant people that they are. Yeah. So it's really just pushing the limit of what is humanly possible to be
with one guy's arm.
Yeah.
They could be now. Are they their YouTube channels might be like King of the Table might be the YouTube channel that you would go to watch this.
I believe that is actually. I think that might be specifically on Larry Wheel's YouTube channel. He's a YouTuber influencer guy. He's like he does a lot of things in the fitness world. Arm wrestling is kind of this weird part of the YouTube fitness world with like bodybuilding and powerlifting and things like that. And he kind of has his dips his toes in all that, but he got the arm wrestling bug a couple of years ago and he's really into it now. And now, you know, he's probably more well known than most arm wrestlers. So he's kind of lending his platform to arm wrestling.
Right. Cause he likes it so much. So his name is Larry Wheel. So he's got a YouTube wheels, plural. Mm-hmm. And so he has many videos on YouTube, including arm wrestling content for King of the Table. And what was the name of the other one? World America
East vs.
Arm Wrestling
West.
League. East vs. West.
World Arm Wrestling League was, yeah, was the older one that's not around. East vs. West is run by a different guy. They have their own YouTube channel. And then they're... For sure. And then, yes, East vs. West. And but then it's run by this guy named Engin, I think, or Engin. I don't know exactly how to pronounce it.
Right.
But he loves arm wrestling. He's like a, I don't know, just like a huge fan. And I remember like there was one match where it was John Berzank, the greatest arm wrestler of all time, versus
John Berzank, you guys.
You got to know the GOAT. If anybody knows anything about arm wrestling, they've seen the documentary Pulling John, which I haven't seen. I got to watch it. But
documentary called Pulling John?
Pulling John. That's like the most mainstream arm wrestling has ever gotten, was this documentary from about 20 years ago that was about this guy, John Berzink, and he was the greatest in the world, and everyone agrees he's the greatest. And it's about a big match he had against this guy. And well, I don't want to spoil anything, but.
But if he's the GOAT, there's some, and he was willing to do a documentary. But it was. So is it, and it is there backstory in, you haven't seen it yet, you said. You're busy walking. You're living in the moment. You're living
in
the moment, AJ.
I'm living in the now, unfortunately. But I do need to go back because apparently it's great. And I think at the time he was actually about to retire for the first time, although he's still arm wrestling now at like 60. But I think at the time was like retired, and they said, come on, we want to do a documentary. And he's like, fine. And then he faced this guy, and he never lost. Apparently he won like for like 25 years straight or something crazy.
Oh, wow.
And I don't know. I've heard different things. But then he did lose that match against that guy. They actually just recently had a rematch 20 years later, which is very exciting.
Sure. I'm sure.
Yeah, I believe it goes into the backstory and like, you know.
Yeah. And just sort of how. So the crazy thing is so what are the best ones that you've seen? Like what makes a good arm wrestling match?
I think anything, you got to tell a story, right? Like a great sport is just a great story. And so Matt Maska was in another absolute battle against Sandra Sedis. You saw this recently, maybe 5 months ago or something. And Matt Mask's thing is that he loses all the time. I love him. I'm a big fan, but he always loses the big one. You know, he's that guy. And he's a guy who gets gassed out. He's a guy who gets tired. He's really explosive early on, but then tends to struggle later if the guy can slow him down. And he was down like 3-0 in the best of seven. So it's like, oh, it's over. I mean, if he falls, he's supposed to either win right away or, you know, it's over.
Right.
Then he wins the next three rounds and came back. Oh. And they were like crazy, like long battles where like you couldn't quite tell who's going to win until they did. And then he lost the last one because that's what he does. But it was just, it was still the story that was told there was amazing because it was like, oh, I was like watching. I was like, oh, it's too bad. I like that guy. He's going to lose. And then he really gave the guy a run for it.
Right. Who was he wrestling? Who was he arm wrestling?
Sandra Sedis, I believe is his name.
A man named Sandra?
Sandris.
I was going to ask you, are there women? Do women care about this? What's happening?
There's a women's division. There are women arm wrestlers. I don't know too many of their names. Yeah, there's usually fewer on a card than men. I think there's fewer female arm wrestlers than there are male arm wrestlers at the moment.
And I'm really hoping. I don't know why. I just want it to not be in a sports bra, but I'm wrong. She's probably in a sports bra.
So in a t-shirt.
Okay, that'd be great. Yeah. That'd be nice. Because if they're not just in a weird halter top are any of the guys doing this shirtless?
No, but they do have sometimes they are sleeveless, but they all wear the shirt usually of the, you know,
of the tournament. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but no, they're not, they'll do it shirtless in like practice and stuff like that sometimes.
Right.
You get hot, you've been practicing all day, but in the matches, no, not, I don't think. I've seen.
There's
that'd
some
be cool.
Sort of.
I'd love to see a guy like rip his shirt off and go like, be like, okay, it's time to power up, you know, go Hulkamania.
Right.
But unfortunately, I have yet to see that. But someone should try it.
Who's refereeing?
That's a great question. I think a lot of them are like, you'll see them and you're like, that guy's arms are big for a regular person. I think maybe he's also an arm wrestler, you know.
Well, you would think that they would get someone who knew what the heck that they were seeing.
They would have to, although the way they officiate it doesn't seem like it. No.
Right. Can you cheat? Is there cheating? Are there rules?
Because like I said, it's all about the argument at the beginning of like getting that. So the ref really needs to like rein them in and be like, first they just go in their own grip. Then they argue. And then they go into what's called a ref's grip, where the guy will literally like take their hands, put them together, fold their fingers over one another's one at a time and their thumbs, and then say go. So, but yeah, the refs, I mean, it's so difficult because it's like, so it's not just like flat to the table. There's like, it's like raised up a little bit what you have to get to. And it's like, did his hand go past that point or not? Like they usually have two refs actually at the table, one on each side.
That's probably on each side. That makes perfect sense, quite honestly.
Yeah,
but it does get kind of expensive.
Yeah, bad angle.
Yeah.
So, they usually have two. It's really like, was seen and unfair.
Hey, and we're back, you guys. It was an exciting time in the world of podcasting. I'm with AJ O'Connell, you guys, and we're talking about arm wrestling. AJ O'Connell's stand-up comic has a podcast called First Pancake Podcast and is on Instagram at AJ O'Co. It'll be in the notes. You'll get it. What we're learning is that arm wrestling, fraught with peril. People are breaking fingers. People are slipping on banana peels. How long? I don't know what else to ask. I mean, we're at a half an hour and we got another 30 minutes. What do you got?
So one thing, you did mention talk about a great match and what makes a great match. And you're talking about breaking fingers. Matt Mask, again, this is why he was one of my favorites.
This poor guy.
He's always puts on a show. He's always like, when he gets a big pin, he jumps up and down. He's slapping the table. The chalk's going everywhere. And he's just a regular lunatic. One time he did break his finger and like dislocated it. And like while he was in the strap with another guy, and he had to like, you could see him like try to like put it back in and finish the match as it was.
Wow.
So, you know, he's
That's, you know what that is? That's a guy that I've been there where you're just like, no, I'm irreplaceable. This needs to be finished. I have a scar on my finger. I don't know if you could see it. It was my first ever audition for MTV. And nothing says MTV more than Jackie Cation in 1992, you guys. Uh-huh. Nope. Anyway, but I had a small temper tantrum and I punched a framed poster framed with glass. Shards of glass fell on my hand. Whenever I look at it, I always think, oh, that's right. That's what happens when you lose your temper. And it cut between two tendons, so I can still move this finger, blessedly. But I grabbed a Comedy Gallery t-shirt, wrapped it around my hand, and asked if I could go next before I went and got the 8 stitches. And guess what they said? No. You're going to the hospital right now.
The show must go on.
I thought so. I thought, if this was going to be my big opportunity, Jackie Cation on MTV? It never was. It was never going to happen. MTV wasn't for me. I don't know. I said Adelaide for 2 years before I realized it was Adele. Anyway, what else you got? Other faves?
So one thing that's really important to talk about, because when you get into arm wrestling, this is one of the first things. There's controversy with one of the techniques. Okay. The King's move is considered, some people think, like, not legitimate. Because the basic idea of the King's move is you just kind of lean back and kind of let your arms straighten out so that they can't really pin you. Yeah. And there's a legendary match against Devin Larratt, who we talked about, and Michael Todd. And Michael Todd used the King's move, and it basically seemed like his arm was straight and almost seemed like he was on his forearm on the pad. And he was like, his shoulders were under the table. And it was like, how do you pass? It seems like he's like cheating. Now, there also are rules where you're not supposed to bring your shoulders below the table when you're in a defensive position for such reasons. But also the pads were higher in that league. So it made it like easier to get into a position like that.
Right.
And a lot of these guys, believe it or not, their arms are kind of messed up. And so they can't fully extend their arms. So they might be here and their arm is fully as extended as it can be, you know, where they have 30 degrees right. left of extension. So then they can just kind of sit here and be like, well, what are you going to do about it?
Right.
My arms. And so you got to like break their arm or something. And so it's become a very common move. It's also a move you can only do in the strap, which is another reason people don't like it, because it's not like as pure. It's more just like using this thing that's meant to be a tool as like a way to.
Is there a point where the argument becomes so heated, they're like, well, then you go in the strap. That's what we're doing. We're just going to go with the strap. That's
usually
when the strap
gets slip, but sometimes I think they do start in the strap because it's just like,
we got to get
this going.
Still,
your hand positioning matters so much. They're still going to be arguing. But after a slip, they will like pull out the strap and they'll like hold it up like it's, yeah, they do. And they're like, okay, we're going to the strap, everybody. And they put their hands together. And it also matters which side, which hand the buckle of the strap is on.
Yeah.
It's a disadvantage for one of the people.
Oh, right.
And there's also ways to wrap the strap that it is more advantageous for you. Of course, the refs do it in the high-level play, but you were asking if you can cheat, and that is one way to cheat arm wrestling, is to do a cheat strap.
Okay, where you are like, all right, we're going to use the strap, and then one guy just does it, and the other guy doesn't realize that he has been cheated upon?
The guy who has the buckle on his hand, you're supposed to wrap it around his wrist first, I believe.
Okay.
If you do it the other way, huge advantage.
Oh, my gosh.
For one of the guys. So it's...
Wow.
Yeah, there's a ton of minutiae. In the technique of winning an arm wrestling match in a way that I would recommend anybody, you got to watch one because it's
right.
It's so much more complex
than you think. Cause you would think that it's, so how long is an average video? Is it like 15 minutes? 10
like of a match?
Or,
yeah. Probably around that length. I'd say I should have opened one
long.
Up to see, but no, although with all the arguing and stuff, it probably can get longer.
Okay,
A like pure 20? Unadulterated arm wrestling, it might be like 7 minutes though. But of actual, you know, all told, it might be 20, 30 minutes sometimes.
You want the drama. You got to get the drama before. You want to
have
the slap on the back on the end. And then, I do wonder, I had a question and I wonder where it went. Well, it's gone now. But I know. It's how many people are watching.
Okay, so I think a decent amount watch on pay-per-view. And a lot of people watch like after when it becomes available for free.
Yep.
But at the event.
Yeah, live.
Unfortunately, not a lot of people. They are not filling up the small space that they have. I like to think some of that's due to COVID restrictions wherever they are. But also it seems like it's mostly just friends and family, but
yeah. Well, and I kind of like that it's friends and family, because if you think about arm wrestling, it's usually just two people who are like, you want to arm wrestle? I mean, the fact that one of those guys was like a Navy SEAL or like a soldier guy.
Mm-hmm.
I have met some soldiers. It's boring, right?
Right. And well, that's, I think, a good place to hone technique is in the special.
Right. When you're just sitting around for literally days on end.
That's right.
Waiting for yourself to go into some sort of war zone or waiting for something to happen. Because there seemed to be a great deal of boredom in all of the war zones that I've ever been in. And and when I say war zones I've been in, two, hold your applause. So but like the two, like all of the soldiers and the Marines and everybody just seemed that's how psyched they were about stand up, because they were like, oh, thank God you've come. You're someone else. And
right.
So I think arm wrestling might be a thing that bored people do, right?
For sure, it's a thing bored people do, yeah. By the way, I did just look up one of the matches. So that Matt Mass, Devin Lorat match I was talking about, that was about 20 minutes.
Okay. So that
gives you a frame. Yeah.
Yeah, that gives you a frame. So if people were to watch
it's something that people do with time on their hands, for sure. Like at school or in the Army. Military.
Right, it feels like a real school thing. So what would you recommend people, would you go to that Wheelers? website, or would you go to the other one?
Yeah, you could. I like Devin the Rat a lot. He's a very interesting, charismatic, kind of crazy guy.
Okay.
So he's a very good guy to start watching to get into it, and like watching his matches tend to be longer.
And his own matches are on his YouTube channel.
No, you'd have to, yeah, go to like King of the Table, or I mean, but if you just type in like this person versus this person, stuff will come up. Highlights or the whole match.
If you just type in professional arm wrestling, will that come up?
You'll see some professional arm wrestling for sure. Yeah,
for sure. Okay.
I would say if you're new to arm wrestling, one thing to watch first is Matt Mask. Oh, now I gotta look it up. But there's one. There's a video basically because he's crazy. When he arm wrestles, he's like a lunatic. That's his like. And there's one where it's just a video of him being unhinged and him just.
How does just that a compilation. Manifest though?
Well, he says is he likes to fight angry. So before every match, he imagines the other guy is beating his wife, pushing his kids in the sand, and throwing rocks at his dog. And he pictures that, and then he thinks, oh, buddy, you're going to wish you didn't do that.
And then puts his arm up, like, let this arm wrestling begin. And
this is how I solve those problems, is by arm wrestling.
Right. I mean, in the world of anger management, like, I wonder, you know, because you wonder about, you know, different sports people, and on steroids, of course, your emotions are kind of concocted as well. So is there off screen drama? Like, have you heard about any of these guys getting arrested or any of these guys having substance abuse problems?
Pretty wholesome, to be honest.
That's kind of neat.
You know, they're just guys. A lot of them have other jobs and stuff, but they just love doing this. And so it's just kind of like you only do it as like a passion, right? Like I say, it's kind of like when you're watching back in the day, you're watching like college sports with your uncle and he's like, this is better than pros because they're doing it for the love of the game.
Right.
If you're a pro wrestler, you're doing it for the love of the game. You're not in it for the money.
No, they're, you know, and if you've gotten in it for the money, you've chosen poorly.
You've made a mistake. You're the best ever or you're in trouble, you know, so, and you better also be an entertainer. So I think it's one of those things where like they're all passionate about it. They love it. Like, so they'll get upset, but usually after the match, I'm actually surprised there's not more like yelling or whatever, but sometimes they are pissed and their hands are tied together and that's great.
Right. Right. Cause then you are trapped together. You have got to get a hold of your emotions.
It's like a 3-legged race with someone you hate. Yeah. It's kind of beautiful.
Do they ever just cut them off? Cause they're just getting too agitated.
Yeah,
or,
I don't know.
Like, who's got that kind of money? You got to untie it. We got to reuse this strap.
Yeah, right, exactly. You don't have that many straps. It's not a renewable resource. Yeah.
Is there merch?
Oh, I think like a lot of the guys that if you're doing it to try to, you know, professionally, they probably have their own merch and stuff. And certainly, I'm sure you can buy like an East versus West shirt or whatever.
What, east of what and west of what?
That's a great question. I think West is usually just like North America, and East is like Europe.
Okay.
In that kind of area.
Are you
like
seeing
maybe
any
more Eastern Europe, but
you're not seeing a lot of Asia. Is that what I'm seeing?
I've not seen a lot of Asia represented except for maybe Russia. But
that's Central Asia, I suppose, is Turkey and Russia and all that.
Right.
Yeah.
So Turkey and Russia but not like
the subcontinent and
not like
the Far
Japan
East
or China.
Japan or, yeah. Okay.
No, I haven't seen much of that. It's mostly like Eastern European. Yeah.
Is it a lot of Whitey Magoos? Is it pretty white that you're watching these guys? Or is
West
it,
is white. East is less white, I guess.
Okay.
More, also, Italy is part of this, so they're white. But yeah, so it's a lot of white people for sure.
Yeah. No, and I don't mean it to be pejorative. I'm just kind of curious.
I wish there was more diversity in the arm wrestling world.
Well,
the arm wrestling world
and diversity. Where's that?
Yeah.
Book? Yeah. It'll happen as it becomes more popular, you know? I mean, if there's, you know, sort of, will you feel like if it becomes super popular, like you're like, I listened to this band when it was nothing.
Oh, yeah. And I'm going to have a big head about it for sure. I'm going to be like, oh, you think that's cool?
I don't even know. You understand. There were times when they would just tape their fingers together and keep going.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, they're gonna have like protection on their hands or something like that. I'm like, that's not right. Real arm wrestling.
That's not real arm wrestling. About it.
They used to gloat like this guard. Back in the day. They used
to keep their head down. What do you got, carpal tunnel? What? Get off of me. And so, yeah, that's fascinating. And so you said that you have never seen a live match.
No, I got to find one. I think they have some around here in California that I should.
You would think
that
Los Angeles would have live matches. I mean, they've got Mexican wrestling, you know, Dana Gould and Blank Apache go to those all the time, according to their Instagram. I don't know if they do actually do. I don't know how often is often. Once feels like a lot to me. So, but I would say you should see. Yeah, there's got to be. LA is full of so many different kinds of people.
Yeah, I got to go for the experience. I got to get someone to go with me. That's the thing. It's not an easy thing to find friends that are also interested in pro arm wrestling. But
what about your buddy who turned you onto it? Is he not
he
in California?
On the East Coast, yeah.
All right, it East versus
like
West.
Before I was moving to LA. Yeah, it really is East versus West.
Yeah, right. it'd be kind of a fun destination thing. Like, if you ever like, if you guys could like meet. I'm in Las Vegas right now. Why do I think that there's probably an arm wrestling, an underground arm wrestling?
I'm sure there is.
And somebody's
arm wrestling is
on
kind
it.
Of a lot of it is what you expect. I mean, it's you know sponsored by Buffalo Wild Wings, truck drivers
is
arm wrestling. The WAL was. A lot of Buffalo Wild Wing, yeah.
Oh, that's kind of actual. That actually, that's kind of cool. And then
that's pretty mainstream, yeah.
And if there's a world match, is there some sort of like world, or you say that it's just sort of names that they then go somewhere and it's pay per view, right?
Basically, yeah. And it really seems like it's run by like the East versus West specifically is run by one guy who just loves arm wrestling. I'm assuming
he's
arm wrestling, but he's
Eastern
not like
Eastern Europe or. Yeah.
He's not like a particularly big guy. I don't know if he's an arm wrestler himself or whatever, but he loves it. And I was going to say earlier is like after one match that John Brzink did when he was that guy went up and was just like was so effusive. It was just like waxing poetic about how the GOAT John Brzink came to his event and how honored he was and everything like that. So it's very sweet.
That is very sweet. It's kind of cool. Fandom itself is really fun because you could be a fan of anything, and to be a fan of just wrestling, arm wrestling, makes you think like, did he pay? Like, does he? Because he may or may not have a Buffalo West Wild Wings, you know, in Turkey or in Romania, but maybe he does, and maybe he can get that guy to fly from Cincinnati or wherever he is to Turkey so that he can arm wrestle against his champion, right?
Yeah, I must imagine that at that level they are getting paid or at least getting their
hotel, right?
Hotel. There's no way that'd be crazy to take an 11-hour flight or whatever to
Right. I'm going to spend $2,000 and I'm going to spend 5 days.
The best though, you know, that's what it's all about. Yeah. I'm imagining he's covering. I don't know if he's like independently wealthy or whatever, but he seems to be bankrolling a lot of it.
Right. And pay-per-view $15 a pop. If you can get 1,000 people, I mean, that's pretty good cash. That should cover it.
Bad.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. That would cover at least a few of the guys. Yeah. So
and
hopefully.
It's sort of like I had a roller derby episode of the Dork Forest, and there was a guy who decided that he wanted there to be professional roller derby. And
that's
so he built rinks and he made teams and he hired women. And he was just like, how do you think we could turn this into something? And some of the women were like, I'm going to wear a weird hat and we're going to have themes. And it's going to be kind of like wrestling where there's, you know, bad guys and good guys and. And there's trash talk, so
yeah,
that's
it. If you build it, they'll come. Hopefully, it's the if there's an interesting enough product.
Is there anything that you're looking forward to?
Yes, I've been meaning to. Okay, so I've been saying a couple names a lot. Levon Tsagnashvili is the best right now, and basically the story with him is no one can stop him. I mean, no one can even like. He just rolls right through everything people try to do. And he just completely, there's been like, okay, so there was But Devin, the last time they faced was in 2022, and he seemed like maybe for a fraction of a second slowed him down. And okay. But then he got injured. And then he lost the match because he was injured. And people say, well, what if he didn't get injured? I'm like, well, he got injured because the guy was trying to break his arm. But so it's – or not, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, yeah.
What if he didn't get injured? He got injured because the guy was trying to rip his arm off. Of course, you know, yeah. the fact that he got injured is the problem. Yeah, we agree. But anyway, so – then there was this guy, Hermes Gasparini, that legitimately slowed down, like stopped him in the center of the table, or well, maybe past center, but for a while. And so it's like all of a sudden, you know, if it bleeds, we can kill it. He's this guy that, okay, maybe the big bad. I mean, he seems like the nicest guy in the world, but he is the, you know, he's the final boss, right?
Right, right.
And so maybe it's possible with the slower strategy. You have to stop him. He will get tired. At the end of that match, they did like four rounds or whatever. He won. But had like the oxygen mask on at the end and said, like, you win the last three rounds. Like, he conceded the last three rounds out of, like, I guess, respect. So it's like, okay, it's possible. Now, on April 20th, Devin the Rat is facing against Levon again. Wow. For the big rematch. And it's like, maybe. Maybe he can win.
Right.
Most people, he's still the huge underdog, you know? But yeah. It's like, it seems like there's... There's
How
cracks.
How old are these guys?
So, yeah, Devin's got to be mid-40s. Levon's probably younger, in his 30s.
Okay.
He was, like, kind of like a skinny guy, like a big frame guy. But all of a sudden, now he's 400 pounds very quickly.
Yeah.
And like, very filled out very fast. And now he's just this absolute giant man. I'm not sure his exact age. I think he's maybe, like, early 30s. Whereas Devin is, like, mid-40s. Which they say is peak.
In his peak.
In his prime.
He's,
that's when you're at
he's
your
about
best.
He's about to read some Louis L'Amour novels and become a grandfather.
That's
you can't
right.
stop those guys.
No.
And so he won the big war, that guy. Okay,
yeah,
so the fact that this is a sport for like guys in their mid-40s that they can do is kind of amazing too.
It
you know?
Is.
Yeah.
I love that. Like, it's kind of that thing of like if you were to imagine it and what you'd want is like, yeah, a bunch of guys – who are like truck drivers or whatever, that are just the biggest truck drivers in the world, and they're 45 years old, they're all dads, and they're trying to, you know, see who's the strongest dad, and that's basically what it is. It's beautiful.
My dad can beat up your dad.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden,
it's like,
dads.
Oh, no, my dad's actually...
My dad's actually really, really good at this.
Yeah.
And you're like...
okay, never mind. You see his dad, and you're like, yeah, actually, I think your dad might have the edge on this one.
Yeah, yeah. That's ridiculous. All right. Well, I don't know. We're at 50 minutes. You got 10 minutes worth of arm wrestling talk, or you want to call it? What do you want to do?
Okay. Well, let's see. I feel like I should have more to talk about. It's definitely what I'm, the thing I'm most looking forward to. There is, okay. One thing that's great about arm wrestling and kind of like what I mentioned before with like it's, you know, 40 year olds and stuff, it's also for freaks, and there are a few people that are just like their bodies are different and that it gives them this advantage, like there's
like
one
double joints or something, or
yeah, there's one guy whose like tendon is just not right, it's like attached to his bicep too high, and so his forearm is just absolutely like gigantic.
Okay.
And he only can wrestle with his left arm. I forgot to mention,
oh wait a minute,
do both. Most guys do both arms. Yeah, most guys do arm wrestle both. Some are dominant in one arm. You know, they tend to lean towards one arm, but usually they do both.
I would have regretted all of the things in the world if we had not talked about which arm people are wrestling with.
Yeah.
But you got to have a dominant arm, right?
You got to. But a lot of guys are good in both.
Devin believes Matt?
Both those, I think they both have done both, but they are right arm dominant. I think Devin does what is considered the, he calls it the giant pumpkin training, because he believes that if you train one arm and don't train the other, that it grows more than if you train both arms the same amount. And that's how pumpkins work, I guess. If you like give one more, it gets huge. It's like better to be in a patch with other pumpkins, but to not, I don't know.
Right,
so,
you don't want one weirdly giant arm anyway. I mean, try and explain that when you aren't a famous arm wrestling guy. Like when you're just famous to like 1,000 people, there's no way to say, I'm a professional arm wrestler.
And there's no one wants actually.
To hear it. There's a reason for the fact that my left arm is enormous. Right arm is normal.
That's right.
Yeah, you want to work on both arms.
But they do, yeah. But he, yeah, Devin specifically only trains his right now. And he arm wrestles both, like, casually, but, like, in the big, he just does the right arm. But some guys are known specifically as left arm guys. There's a guy in the NFL right now, Tyson Bagent. His dad is a professional arm wrestler, considered one of the greatest left-handed arm wrestlers of all time.
Do you have to arm wrestle against someone else who's, like, are you both using your right arm? I forget. So if I use my left arm, you'd have to use your left arm.
Yeah.
So you have to fight other people. So what if, like, the king of the world is a lefty and you're a righty? You got to go in as a left to try to take the title?
Yeah. Okay. So when that, sometimes that's part of the thing. It's like, okay, we have this money behind it. We're going to do this match, but this guy wants to arm wrestle right. This one guy wants to arm wrestle left. Some guy probably has to make a concession. But it's, I mean, at that point, it's like a different category. You're arm wrestling, right? It'd be like you'd be in a different weight class or something. It's like, yeah, you beat my left arm, but then it's my left arm. I'll beat your right arm. That was controversy in Devin the Rat versus Dennis Soplenkov a few years ago. Because Dennis is one of the best left-handed ever. And Devin's more of a right-arm dominant guy. But they did left arm because he wanted the match to happen.
Okay.
But they faced off right arm recently and Devin won.
Okay. Well, that,
Dennis, so, I mean. So that's their tie. So far.
Right. I would think that you would have to do two matches. You'd be like, all right, let's do your dominant arm and then let's do my dominant arm. And that's best of seven. How about that?
Yeah. Sometimes guys will pull double duty in one card and do one match right arm and one match left arm, which I think would be very difficult.
Yeah.
You're going to get tired all over, like not just...
Rare, and not just on one side of you.
Exactly. It's like, okay, good for you trying.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. Well, that is huge. All right. So there's the big match that's coming up. And when do you know when that's going to happen?
April 20th. Check it out.
All right, you guys. 5/20. Get out there. That's May. 4/20?
4/20.
4/20. Try to stay sober. Now do whatever you want. Anyway, because whenever 4/20 gets introduced into the plot. AJ O'Connell, I say, close enough for government work, especially with a small amount of audience. Everybody, try and find him online. You can find him. It's not hard. It's going to be AJ O'Connell, AJ Oko, on the Instagram. And listen to First Pancake Podcast if you like. And, good luck with the stand-up, man. I hope to see you again. We had a really good show that one time.
That was fun.
Yeah. And thanks for doing the dork for us.
Thanks for having me on.
I love topics like this. And Rangers, you know the rules. Take care of each other.
Hi, Adal. How was the show?
It was, I don't know why you do that. Should we, you don't have the time. Should we have our first fight on
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Where you fight and I laugh.
It's
you're mad at me and I'm like,
it's, I know that you're not in show business, but when the one and then the zero happens, what happens next is the person who leads and you started it.
But I was
18 years ago, you were the one who decided. And said, you can pretend that that's what it was, but you wait long enough because you want me to laugh, but you don't realize that I'm laughing and also full of rage. And it's a perfect segue.
It is a perfect segue.
Into a dork forest about arm wrestling.
Ooh.
Weird. It was weird. Yeah. Who knew?
Was it somebody who liked to do it or somebody who liked to watch?
He watches professional arm wrestling.
Professional arm wrestling. Okay.
AJ O'Connell. That's his name.
Yeah.
And he's a comic, LA comic. And
And it was great.
And there are guys who only work out with one arm and they have a Popeye arm. And that is a weird thing. And there are famous people and they barely, like, they do steroids. And they have day jobs.
Okay.
And they have to go to Turkey sometimes.
To arm wrestle?
To arm wrestle professionally.
Because Turkey, that's where
Ukraine.
That's where all of the arm wrestling in the world is happening. The highest level of arm wrestling is happening in Turkey.
In the Caucasus.
In the Caucasus. Okay.
Yes. I don't know why.
Well,
but there it is.
There it
and
is.
And it's on the YouTube, and there's, and it was fascinating.
Yeah.
For, I was like, I almost forgot.
Did you ever see anybody just rip somebody's arm right out of the
yes.
socket? What?
Well, they've broken arms. Oh, broken arms common.
Really?
Here's the last question that we sort of stalled. You know, when you interview somebody, you kind of stall sometimes.
Out. Sometimes you
especially
stall.
If you don't prepare. Which is exactly what I do.
Right. Well, that's the joy of the Dork
that's
Forest.
That's the joy of the Dork Forest.
Is that you learn along with everybody else.
Everybody else. We're all in this together, Rangers. So, but here's what I almost forgot to ask. Mm. Right-handed, left-handed, ambidextrous. Almost everybody's ambidextrous. Some people are Popeye with one arm, but and some people lean one way or the other.
Oh yeah,
they're like sure. The most famous left-handed dude, mm-hmm. The most famous right-handed person.
Okay,
and there is women. He doesn't sure. watch as many women.
Right.
I don't know how much he. He said that it's mostly just a lot of trash talk. And then 7 minutes of pushing back and forth. And then some more.
Straining.
And then everybody, they're tied together. Their wrists are tied together. And then there's some back slapping.
Oh, nice.
And get me out of this wrist thing.
Right, right. Get me out of this wrist thing before I break my arm again.
Right. So it's a great episode.
Sounds great.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?